Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson according to Matthew chapter 3, where we hear again our introduction to John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. What would you think if you took your kids or grandkids to the mall to meet Santa? And when you finally get to the front of the line, instead of jolly old Saint Nick, there's a guy sitting there in animal skins, long hair, long beard, looks like he just came out of the wilderness, and he's telling everyone within earshot that it's time to get right with God. Your reaction says it all. No one lines up to take pictures with John the Baptist. But that doesn't change the fact that to get to the Christ of Christmas, you have to go through John. Every Advent, John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness wearing his Old Testament prophet uniform. He's looking wild, but his message is even wilder. He's not polite. He's not trying to spare anyone's feelings. He cuts right to the chase. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He's saying to anyone who will listen, get right with God. Cut through the distractions. Eliminate the nonsense in your life. Stop turning away from God. God is searching for you. Let him find you. It comes as no surprise that quote-unquote religious people had and have a problem with John. He's not one of them. Plus, he's popular, and his message of radical change threatens to upset the status quo. And they're about to find out just how radical John is, because John is going to insist that your standing with God is not based on your race or your family or even your resume. On the television show MASH, I'm showing my age now, Dr. Charles Emerson Winchester III made it clear often what separated him from everyone else. "I'm a Winchester," he would say. For him, it was his family name that made him superior to everyone else. Other people do it in different ways. One woman received her education at Harvard and found a way to work Harvard into just about every conversation she ever had. That's what John the Baptist was dealing with here in a spiritual sense. He was utterly unimpressed with the very thing that the religious people had based their lives upon. What did they say when they came out to John? "We're children of Abraham." It was like they came out there and said, "I'm a Winchester, and that's all you need to know." And then comes John the Baptist, who tells them in so many words, "That doesn't mean a thing." Can you sense how John and his message might translate to our situation? Can't you hear him say, "Just because your name is on a church roster, just because at some point in history you made your confirmation, just because your parents or grandparents came to this church, just because you are a volunteer, just because you are the pastor, None of those things alone are what saves you. Just saying, I'm a Winchester, or I'm a Lutheran, or even I'm a Christian, doesn't make it so. In what or in whom do you place your ultimate trust? That's the question. If your answer to that question is myself, John only has words of warning for you. There's no way around this confrontation. To get to the Christ of Christmas, you have to go through John, as unpleasant as that may seem. John the Baptist is crashing the winter holiday party and making a scene that we dare not ignore. Repent, he says. Take a look at your life. See where you've put your priorities. See where your treasure really lies. Repent. What does that mean? Well, again, it means to change your mind. When you're repenting of sin, you are saying, I thought that that was a good idea, but now I know it's not. Or last week, if you were here, you might remember we talked about repentance as saying no to the things that block your way to Jesus and saying yes to the things that clear the path. But let's go deeper. Do you understand that repentance is not a once-in-a-lifetime event, but it's a daily action? We need to die daily to our sin, as Martin Luther once wrote, or as author Richard Jensen says, a repentant person comes before God and says, I can't do it myself. Kill me and give me new life. You buried me in baptism, bury me again today, and raise me to new life. Now, if that kind of language seems overly dramatic to you, you may be falling asleep spiritually. John the Baptist-style repentance is the wake-up call. Well, there's a lot of talk these days about being real, how important it is to be authentic. Well, it doesn't get more real than repentance. It doesn't get more real than dropping the mask and saying, you know what? I know I don't live up. I know I'm spiritually dry. I know my priorities are all messed up. Lord, help me. Or here's one more way to think of it. This is from a pastor in New York City, Timothy Keller is his name, and he said about our American culture, Group A thinks that Group B is the problem, and Group B thinks that Group A is the problem, but the Christian knows the problem is me. Repentance is being real and just admitting the problem is me. Strange but true, there's a part of us that wants to hold on to sin. You can be tempted with assumptions like, Jesus is so loving that he'll let me hold on to this sin. Maybe it makes my life easier. Maybe I'm afraid of what life will be without that sin. Maybe I just like it. At any rate, the Savior I have in mind is the one who tells me that those sins are okay. He'll save me anyway. But God is not like a permissive parent. I imagine Jesus asking, "Let you hold on to sin? I've already carried all your sins to my cross and suffered them there. The only way you can have them back now as if you take them back from me. I didn't go to the cross to let you keep drinking poison. I swallowed it all. Do you see? To hold on to sin now is to say that you want a Savior who died for most of your sins, but not all of them. But to get to the real Savior, the reason for the season, the Christ of Christmas, you have to go through John and change your mind. We're all looking forward to our Christmas celebration in just a few weeks from now. But do you realize Jesus is as near to you today as He was to Mary on the day that He was born? He's that close. Where is He? He's here in the very words that we have sung and spoken today. He's here at the table where He is host, giving us His own body and blood. A rebirth is here for you, if you want it. Jesus has come close to usher all of us into the most amazing feast, a celebration that dwarfs the most elaborate Christmas party that you have ever seen. So stop running. Clear a path for Christ to come in and renovate. Repent, for heaven is at hand in the grace of Jesus. It's the heaven of knowing. The heaven of knowing that God isn't looking for perfect people, people who act the right way or have the right pedigree. He's looking for people who will just let the mask drop and say, the problem is me. Why? Because He can come to that person and say, the solution is me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You sent Your prophet out, John, to call people to repentance, to eliminate any way of justifying ourselves before You, whether that is our resume of good things that we've done or who we come from, what we belong to, and to see that our only standing lies in Your grace, trusting in You, trusting in Your Son, Jesus, that He is our substitute. He came to us to give His very life as a sacrifice. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, teach us the art of daily repentance, of setting aside those things which we so quickly pick up to say, this is where we get our standing and our meaning from. Help us to set those down and to focus on Jesus and to see that He is our sufficiency, that He is our comfort. He is our ultimate trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.